Mark chapter 14 and beginning at verse 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise, also said they all. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this passage of scripture that you've laid on our pastor's heart to preach to us from today. God, use him today to help us. Empower him with thy Holy Spirit for that task. Use him. Help us with thy Holy Spirit to hear what the Spirit says saying to us so that we'll apply and do those things. God, just do a great work in our midst today. As Pastor already alluded to in his prayers, heavy hearts, special needs today. So, Father, we need you. We need your help today. And, Father, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray they'd settle it before they leave today. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, check your cell phone, please, and make sure that it is turned off or to vibrate so it will not go off during the service. Our regular folks know to do this on every service right before the preaching starts. So visitors, help us there, please, and we'd appreciate your respect and no snide remarks made about cell phones at this moment. But I can come up with one later on if it goes off in the service, so help us there, please. Jesus, it's the night before he is to be crucified. He'll be taken by an angry mob and nailed to a cross, and he's got a handful of men there with him, the disciples. And then he turns and he makes a startling statement to them. Look in Mark 14 again. Basically what Jesus said is, before this night is over, every one of you is going to leave me. And it won't be just they're going to go away in a time where Jesus had all kinds of friends around him. He'll be taken by an angry mob and beaten and crucified, and he needs somebody with him. And they'll just turn and Jesus said, before this night's over, you'll all forsake me. Then Peter speaks up and says, Lord, not me. No, I won't do it. Look in the passage, please, in Mark 14:27. All you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I'm risen, I'll go before you into Galilee. Peter speaks out, but Lord, Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee that this night, even this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Look at this. Likewise also said they all. He's been telling them that he's going to be taken and crucified. I don't think they still even understand the critical moment here. But when Jesus turns to him and says, Before this night is over, you're all going to leave me. All of you. Peter says, Not me all the way to death, Jesus. And Jesus says, No, Peter, as a matter of fact, before the rooster crows that announces the sunrise. And then the Lord made a statement, only made in the Gospel of Mark. Before the rooster crows twice, you'll have denied me three times. Peter says, not me, Lord. Vehemently, he's arguing with the Lord. Not me. I wouldn't do that. No way. I would never leave you. I'll die before I deny you, Lord. And the rest of the disciples chime in. And they said, that's right, us too. None of us are leaving you. We're all going all the way now, no matter what happens. But before the sun rose and before the rooster crowed twice, Peter did not just deny the Lord. He cussed and swore he ever denied who the Lord was. And when that angry mob is coming, and they're literally just a matter of a short distance gathering now to head to come to get the Lord, this angry howling mob with sticks and staves. He no sooner makes the statement than this mob shows up, and they all take off running. The Bible says Peter follows afar off, and that's where he's warming his hands by the fires of the enemy of the Lord, and that's where he denies who Jesus is. Every time I read that, I think to myself, how could somebody deny Jesus? How could they just say they don't even know who he is? In Columbine High School there in Colorado, when those two young men, I believe demon-possessed, loaded up weapons and went into a high school and just started shooting young people. One of those young people that they shot, a young teenage girl, they knew her. They knew all these kids, their fellow classmates. She was trying to find a place to get away, and they caught her, and she was under a table, and one of those young men put a gun in her face and said, "I understand you're a Christian, is that right?" And she said, "Yes, I am." And he shot her point blank and killed her. With a gun in her face, she would not deny the Lord. The history of God's people is a history of people whose blood has been spilt because they would not deny that Jesus Christ was their Lord and their Savior. But these are not people here that are going to deny him and run away. These are not casual followers. These are disciples now. These men have been with him through all sorts of things. They're a faithful group of selected men who are with Jesus everywhere he went. And then he turns to them and he says, "Now before the sun's up, you're all going to be gone. You're going to leave me. Because they're coming after me as the shepherd, and they're going to smite me, and the sheep are going to scatter. And gentlemen, that's you." And Peter says, "No way, I'll go to death first. I'll die before I give up on you. Never would I deny the Lord." You know, I believe tonight that if I were to ask the Christians in this room, "Would you ever deny that Jesus Christ was your personal Savior and your Lord?" I would venture to say there wasn't a Christian in this room that would say, "Absolutely no way would I ever deny him." You would readily say, "I will never deny Jesus Christ with my life." But what we need to understand is this. They said the same thing, and I don't believe they were just talking. I believe they meant it. Hey, listen to me. I believe with every fiber of their honesty and sincerity, when they said, "Not us, Lord, not us," I believe they meant that. They had no desire to deny him, and that their life would turn against him and turn away from him. And I think to myself, how could they do that? If you listen this morning, I assure you the Lord will help us today. You say, "Well, that's not a problem with me, Pastor Johnson." I have no desire to deny the Lord, nor did Peter. Peter isn't just a big mouth saying, "I'll die with you, Jesus." He meant it. He meant it with every bit of his heart, every bit of sincerity. So did the rest of the disciples. And I believe you would be just as sincere as I am this morning to say, "I wouldn't deny Jesus Christ for anything. I'm not ashamed I'm a Christian." Are you? "I'm not ashamed that I'm a child of God. I'm not ashamed he went to the cross for me. I'm not ashamed he gave his life for me." I would have no more desire to deny Jesus Christ than anything else on this planet this morning. But we must understand something today. The potential is there unless we are careful. And we listen this morning and learn something from these disciples. Because they see, there are three steps to the denials of the disciples. Three things that they did that led them to that place in their life. Because here's the thing. After 30 years in the ministry, I find people all over the place who, if you ask them, "Are you a Christian? Are you a child of God?" they would say yes in a heartbeat. But their life doesn't show it. There's no evidence by their morality, by their life choices, and by their conduct, that they're Christians. And let me be very clear this morning. Your life does not determine whether or not you are a Christian. You get saved by accepting Christ as your Savior. That is a free gift. But the life that you lead as a Christian proves to others whether or not you're sincere. whether or not there's anything truthful about it. And see, without saying a word, you could, by actions, you could deny who the Lord. See, when those disciples took off, then the angry mob came and the disciples took off and ran from Jesus, they weren't running away saying, I don't know who he is, I don't know who he is. Their actions proved their denial. Peter would be the only one who'd be vocal about it. But Peter was the one who was most vehement about the whole thing. The strongest in words. I'll die before I deny who you are, Jesus. I'll die first. And the sun is not even up and he actually curses and swears and denies who Jesus is. Now, if you're like me this morning, I don't want to ever get to that place in my life. I don't want to ever get to the place where by my actions, my words, my choices, my decisions, anything that I do denies the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I owe him that much. Don't you? You know, listen, Christmas, don't you owe him a lot today? Aren't we indebted to the Lord Jesus for what he's meant to us and what he's been to us and what he's done for us and his patience and his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness and all the things that he's done? Don't we owe him more? The three steps before denial are, first of all, they denied his warnings. Listen now, when Jesus said, before the night's over, you're all going to deny who I am. That's Jesus telling them that. He's giving them a warning about things. What's amazing to me, often as I read that, I think to myself, they're arguing with the Lord about this. Rather than say, how can we keep from that happening? Lord, please help us. We don't want to do that with our lives. No, it's Peter who's saying, no, you're wrong. I know what I'm doing here. And he's avoiding the warnings that he's been given. It's only in Mark's gospel, all four gospels have this event recorded of Jesus and the disciples saying, you guys are all going to leave me. But it's only Mark's gospel where it's recorded that Jesus said, before the cock crow twice, you'll have denied me three times. So Peter, later on, the mob takes Jesus and Peter's out there warming his hands by the fire, kind of trying to find out what's going on. Someone steps up to him and says, didn't you spend time with him? I thought I saw you with Jesus out there. And Peter says, no, not me. No, that wasn't me. A few moments later, he's standing there warming his hands by the fire. Someone steps up to him and says, now, I'm sure it was you. I think I saw you with him. And the Bible says, and the cock crew, the first time. Jesus had given him a clear warning. Twice, you'll deny me. I always wonder, why didn't he stop at that first rooster crow? The rooster crowed, Peter should have said, wait a minute. There'll be one more and I'll have denied him again and I'm already on the process of things. You see, the Lord is in the business of giving us warning when our life decisions and choices are taking us away from him. He gives us warning. He wants to let us know that that's not the direction that we need to go. That's not the things that need to happen. And he uses the conviction of the Holy Spirit and he uses the circumstances of our lives. But I assure you, God is always in the business of trying to get our attention. Long before you and I ever walk off from the Lord and deny him, he's already given us warning that we're headed the wrong direction. Before the rooster crows twice, Peter, and it crowed that one time after his second denial, Peter should have stopped in his tracks and said, wait a minute. I know where I'm going. This is what the Lord said. What happened to me? That's why, you know, it's interesting how the work of the Holy Spirit operates in our lives to warn us about things. It always starts with that still, small voice. I wish it was just a brass band, blow it right out the doors, you know, like these people you pull up next to at red lights with the $50 car and a $1,000 stereo. And it's just music is blasting. You can hear it four cars away. It's even rattling the change in your ashtray. And they got that music. Boosh, 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 boosh. I wish sometimes the Holy Spirit worked like that. I wish the moment that my direction started to change, I wish he would just get all over me and blast away and say, Mike Johnson, don't do that. That's never where he starts. It's always the still, small voice. Where the Spirit of God says, Now, you know this is not right. But I found that God has the ability to do what I do, increase the volume if necessary. And he does. And so then he encourages this, and so he directs that, and he starts to work this, and then he starts to touch this, and then this thing situation happens, and this circumstance arises. And all along, God is sending us warning, saying, now you're headed the wrong way. Long before we ever get to the place where we say, I don't even know who he is. My life proves I'm not even acting like a Christian. I don't want to act like that anymore. Long before that, there have been a series of warnings he has brought in our lives. And God is trying to help us. Are you getting the message? Now with the cell phone thing and the little sounds that they make to let you know you have a text or a voicemail. It's amazing how people will just absolutely stop in their tracks. You'll be in the middle of a conversation. And they'll say, oh, just a minute, I got to check this. And they take their phone and they're ready to hear that little bing, bing. Or la cucaracha or whatever it is they got their stupid thing set on. But it's amazing how they can pick that up. Incredible. How a teenager can hear that ding ding on their little cell phone but can't hear the parents sitting there talking to them face to face. Amazing how they get selective hearing, yes? Amazing how we're careful and attentive to hear things. We hear the beep on the microwave when it heats up the water we're going to have our coffee with. We'll hear that in the other room. But the Holy Spirit of God has been directing us and prompting us about some things. We don't seem to hear that quite as carefully. What doest thou here, Elijah? Great Mount Carmel experience calls down fire from heaven. Nation turns to God, and Elijah runs and hides from Jezebel. Hides in a cave and pitches a pity party, and God comes and tries to get his attention with a fire and a wind and an earthquake. But the Bible says God wasn't in any of those. And then there is that still small voice, and he says, what are you doing in here, Elijah? You know those hours where you're alone at night and you're thinking to yourself, why is my life the way this is? What's happened to me? And the Spirit of God says, you know where the decision was made. You know the choices. It's God's warning. They never intended to deny him. You don't intend to do that. I don't intend to do that. With all my heart and my soul and my life, I want to die for the Lord Jesus Christ if necessary. But I assure you, if I miss his warnings, the day will come when I'll turn my back on him also. Telling us today 70% of young people growing up in Christian homes and families are walking out of church and denying Christ with their lives. I don't know where they got the figure, and I don't know how it works with a lot of people, but I'm finding something out that's quite interesting. That doesn't happen overnight. Kid doesn't walk out across a platform, get a diploma, and walk out of church. That kid checked out a long time ago. Something was, they didn't listen somewhere down the road. Somebody was trying to help them along the way, and they didn't get that. Something happens in our lives. You look around sometimes, you say, I wonder where so-and-so is in church. By the way, you can ask me if you want to, but my reply will be this. What did they tell you when you called them? And I miss folks sometimes. I'm sorry. I don't mean to do that. I try to keep up with people and make sure they're okay. And especially in summertime, folks are on vacation. I asked someone today, I said, where you been? Well, I told you I was going on vacation. They and 14 other people told me they were going on vacation. I'm sorry I don't remember each person's vacation plans or something happens. And I'm sorry if somebody gets missed. I really am. I don't want to do that. I've tried my best to keep up with things and miss folks. But ladies and gentlemen, if it happens where a person just quits going to church, that didn't happen in a minute. That happened after a lot of warnings. God touched their finances. God touched their job situation. God touched their health. God touched their families. God touched these things in their life. But he was just trying to let them know, now listen, you're headed the wrong direction. He does that while you're in the right place so you can continue the way you should. Wise is the person who listens to God. The second step to denial of Christ is they deny his wooing. You know who this is that's telling them about this denial. It's Jesus. And do you know why he tells them? Because he loves them. He loves them. We did it. You did it when you were a kid growing up, especially when you were a teenager. You did it when you were a young person growing up. Our kids did it to us as they were growing up. They got this idea that when we were being corrected in some way, that our parents didn't really love us. As hard as a parent tries to explain it to a kid, the truth is the reason I'm doing this is because I love you. When you become a parent, you know it. You understand that. And great is the moment that comes when you became a parent and your correction had to be brought to your children and you understood the great love that was behind what you were doing. You were trying to woo them. Sometimes, and you know, we go over the board. You know, please don't nag your children. I don't believe in nagging kids. I didn't say you can't correct them verbally. Just don't nag them about stuff. Take it from the verbal to something else, but don't just keep nagging them about things. But know this, ladies and gentlemen, the reason a parent corrects their child is because they love their children. They want to tell them, now don't do this, now don't go over there, now don't make that decision, now this is not what you're supposed to do. They love them. Can you imagine Jesus, him looking at the disciples and saying, fellas, before it's over tonight, every one of you is going to walk off and leave me. Do you think he did that because he was mad at them or because he loved them and he wanted to help them? He's trying to woo them with a warning. He's trying to let them know, please don't go that direction, fellas. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to need you in just a little bit. And every one of you is going to leave me. That's why he warns you, is because he loves you. He's trying to help you come to him and stay close to him. There is great love behind those things of correction. There's great love behind those warnings. There's great love behind the things that God is doing. Well, why if he loves me? Why am I having all these financial problems in my life? Because he loves you enough to know he's got to touch what's important to you. By the way, you'll find out what really is important to you when God has to do something to get your attention, what he touches first. Because he knows. Some people, they could care less about the money issue or anything else. No big deal. But my soul, somebody come and steal something from their house, then they get all upset. He'll touch what you love to teach you that he loves you more than what you've been loving. And trying to bring you to himself, he's wooing you. I know that sounds odd. It never made any sense to me when my parents, living with my mom as a kid and she would spank us. Never made any sense when she said, I love you and that's why I'm doing that. That didn't make any sense to me at that moment. When I would correct my children with the same correction that Bible teaches that you should use, I'd always tell them when I was done, Daddy loves you and I don't want to do this again now. We don't need to have this spanking thing again. You just do the right thing and everything will be okay. But no matter what, I love you. I want you to know that now. And I always thought to myself when I told them, I wonder if they're thinking the same thing I thought as a kid. That's a funny way to show somebody you love them. However, the Bible says the Heavenly Father corrects us in Hebrews chapter 12. Read that now. Don't listen to T. Barry Brazelton. Read the Word of God and what the Bible says about it. What I'm trying to get across to you today is this. He has been wooing us. Can we not respond to that this morning? The love of God won't let you go. The Bible says the love of Christ constrains us. It holds on to us. Do you realize you have somebody this morning who loves you unconditionally? And no matter what you are, what you do, he'll always love you. And that's the God of heaven. Always. Well, that's nice because that means I can go do what I want. It doesn't make a difference. No, it means you're sinning against the love of God. And it means he's going to try to bring you closer to himself. What do you think it is? Here's a person who's never really settled this thing. And there's no way to settle it, but really. There's never really settled this thing about their salvation. Why do you think God keeps bringing people across your path to witness to you, give you the gospel? What do you think that is? That's him wooing you, trying to help you understand. He doesn't want to give up on you yet. He still wants you to settle this thing and know that you know that you know that you have eternal life. He is trying to draw you to himself. God only wants to help us because God loves us. Step number 3, for they denied the Lord as they denied his word. Would you look at Mark 14 quickly, please? Jesus quotes scripture to them here. Verse 27, all you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. That's in the book of Zechariah and Isaiah also, by the way. Look at what he did. Jesus said, gentlemen, this passage right here about sheep being scattered because the shepherd is smitten. He said, I'm the shepherd, fellas. You're the sheep. The Bible, look here. The Bible says it's you guys that's going to be here. This is you. Please listen to that. See, we wouldn't deny the Lord, but when it comes to something in the Bible that we don't want to accept, we'll turn that down and think that's not denying Christ. You can't separate the Word of God and the Son of God. You can't do it. Jeremiah chapter 36, King Jehoiakim was sitting there, and he was a man who was a very bad king in Israel's history. And he had heard that from the prophet Jeremiah, God had sent a message. And it was read out in the temple, and people heard it. The king said, well, we'll bring that message in, let me listen to it. And what it was, ladies and gentlemen, was Jeremiah chapter 36. God had given that king a written copy of his word. The Bible said the king sat down in the summer house with the fire burning. I don't know how you sit in a summer house with a fire burning. I have no idea how that works. We don't do it here. And as he started reading what the Bible said the king didn't like that. So he took his knife out and he cut that page and threw it in the fire. The more he read, the less he liked. So he just started cutting pages out of it. Finally, he said, you know what? I don't like this thing at all. And he threw the entire copy of God's word in the fire and burned it. He said, how could somebody do that, Pastor Johnson? How could they take the Bible, cut it up, and then just say, you know what? I'm going to get rid of the whole thing. I'm done with it. Phew. I would never do that. Would you? No. Oh, excuse me. But that part of the Bible that you know you're supposed to do and you won't, that's the same thing. I heard a preacher preach a message on how big is your Bible one time. He took an old Bible of some kind. It wasn't a good Bible. It was a bad translation. He took it to the pulpit with him. And as he was preaching, he started tearing pages out of it, wadding up and throwing around. I mean, people were just about ready to get out of their seats and go up there and make him quit because he was desecrating the Word of God. Before he got done, he said, but that's what we're doing. When we have parts of the Bible we know we're supposed to obey and we won't, it's like tearing pages out of the book saying, I'm not doing that one. Jesus said, fellas, it's in the Bible. I'm the sheep, you're the shepherd. This is going to happen. And they go, no, not us. That part of the Bible doesn't apply to me. That part's for somebody else. What it tells other Christians to do, I don't have to do that. What it says other people should do, I don't need to do that. I know what the Bible says, but see here, listen, those are steps to denial. Because if you can deny his word, you can deny the author. We can turn down parts of the Bible and say, I don't need to do that. I don't even have to do that. I don't want to do that. Then we're going to deny the author of the book too. Denying his word always comes before denying the Son of God. See, without any intention to do it. These are not disciples sitting there saying, oh, that part of the Bible doesn't apply to me. They said, no, Lord, we'll die with you. We'll go all the way, Jesus. But they weren't listening to his word, and consequently they denied that part. They wouldn't embrace it. This thing about salvation is very simple. It's a gift of God. You receive Christ, you're saved. You don't, you're not going to heaven. That's from the Bible. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You can't dismiss that part and not eventually deny Christ also. And as a Christian, look here. I don't say this morning I obey everything the Bible tells me to do, but if I know it's in here, I'm going to get to it. Because look here, if I deny this, I will deny him eventually. All they had to do was stop and say, Lord, we'll go to death with you. And when the mob came, if they'd been listening like they should, received the warnings, embraced the wooings, and listened to his word, did you know something? They would have gone to the cross with Jesus. And you know something today, dear people? Jesus Christ needs his people to stand with him. I'm sorry, but I'm not impressed with the Miley Cyrus Christians. Not impressed with that. Not impressed with people who promote wickedness and declare themselves to be God's people. I'm not impressed with that. I'm not impressed with people who use Hollywood as their means of living an ungodly institution while at the same time they declare themselves to belong to Jesus Christ. I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed with athletes who play ball on Sunday instead of go to church. I'm not impressed with that. I'm not impressed with people who declare themselves as Christians but their life doesn't back it up. But more importantly than that, what it tells the world is this. You can deny Jesus Christ by how you live and still say you're a child of God. But when the mob came, Jesus needed his people with him. There should have been 13 crosses that day. There should have been, well, let me count them up right here. There should have been the two thieves, Jesus, and 11 crosses. There should have been 14 crosses that day. Well, it's not 12 disciples. Judas had already sold out. But every one of those men should have been nailed right next to Jesus, right there. Every one of them should have gone all the way, just like they said they would. But denial always comes when we don't follow the principles, when we don't embrace what God says and listen now, accept the warnings. What is God trying to do to us today? He's trying to tell us in a very loving way, hey, listen now, listen. You're in church this morning. That's good. You're under the sound of the Word of God. That's even better. There is some yet desire in your heart to do what God wants you to do. Important. But know this, even the best of intentions can cause and just turn on a dime and deny the Lord. Let's be careful today. And let's respond to God's workings in our lives, shall we? Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.